sister cries out from her baby bed. Brother runs.
Hour number two is brought to you by Inward Half. I've been telling you about my friends at Inward Half for a while. Golf season in full swing. You need some new gear. You want to look good. They got some Tennessee-themed stuff for the fall that'll make you look good. The hoodies, amazing. The shirts, amazing. Experience the comfort of their signature polos, outerwear, and other accessories cleverly designed to keep you in the swing of everyday life. Check out their entire line at InwardHalf.com. Check out their social medias and look for them in your favorite pro shop. InwardHalf.com. Elevated and transformed performance-driven apparel into fashion-forward statement pieces for the entire family. You can find somebody for anybody in your family at inwardhalf.com. I got to say, boys, I'm struggling this morning. not from the White Claws, but my stomach is in shambles. My sinuses are draining. I appreciate Bear. I appreciate Marcus for what they did last night in the draft party. But they brought some pizzas in. I wasn't really in a pizza mood. I will say shout out to Bear. He cut the pizzas into very small pieces, which I appreciated.
Are you a small piece guy?
No, not usually. But like, I wasn't very hungry, so I just wanted to try some of the pizza. I didn't want a full piece, but they had like a little baby piece, and they had them cut up that way. And I could, you know, easily eat one of those and get a taste and without feeling too full. Like, no, usually I like big pieces, but I wasn't in a big piece mood because I wanted some wings too and to try those out. And actually, I had to get a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A before I came, because I had the 48 hours before like it expired from like whenever I'd gone to a baseball game and it got into my rewards. Like, hey, you better go or else you're going to lose it. Like, I can't lose a free chicken sandwich. So I went by and got it. That's neither here nor there. But there's some chicken wings. And as the White Claw started flowing, I wanted some of those chicken wings. And I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, this one says honey chipotle. And I'm like, it's good, but it's a little spicy. You know me, Bob. Don't really like spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking and seeing one, it looks like barbecue sauce. I'm like, okay, this is just some barbecue wings. And I ate like two or three of those. And they lit me up. And finally, Bear comes out of doing whatever he's doing. I was like, Bear, what the hell are these wings? Why are they so hot? He's like, oh yeah, those are my Korean hot zombie wings. I'm like, what? Excuse me? Like, so you have all these labeled garlic parmesan, honey chipotle. He's got them like written on the box to let us know. And the one that's basic that looks like barbecue, that's your crazy hot Korean wings? Like, why wouldn't that be the one that you take the pen and write down? Because it looks like barbecue sauce. And I thought, well, surely he thinks that everyone knows this is barbecue sauce, so he doesn't have to write it down. So here my dumbass is eating a couple of them, and then I'm absolutely on fire. He's like, oh, yeah, that's my Korean hot zombie.
Did you not, after one of them, were you not like, man, this doesn't really taste like barbecue?
I'm not going to lie. I just eaten the honey chipotle, and it had a little bit of kick to it.
Okay.
So then, like, I'm also hungry, so I'm just eating a couple of them. You know, like, there's a little ranch I put on it to kind of, you know, so, like, it didn't fully hit me at the time. I mowed through two pretty quickly, which maybe is my fault, too, for, blowing through the stop sign and not taking my time. But, again, they look just like barbecue sauce. And again, there was no description on the box, which made me think barbecue, basic. No, crazy hot Korean.
Yeah,
crazy hot Korean, Bob, I wanted was Mina Kimes, not these damn wings.
Well, I only had one wing, and for me it was like, it was not the Korean hot zombie or whatever that was. It was one of the honey chipotle, and for me that was like, yeah, it's okay, but first and last, that's it. I just, it had enough that I was like, there's too much unknown here right now. I didn't even know where they came from, but I do appreciate it, but one was enough. I've had too many wings where it's not worth the pain, and it's this whole late hit. That sounds like what happened to you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the honey chipotle was good too, but yeah, it was too spicy. I'm not a spicy guy, so I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go down to barbecue. And nope, crazy hot Korean zombie. And then when I texted, he said he brought some double black diamond. I don't know if I saw those. I don't know. That sounds bad. I'm glad. I don't know if he was just talking about it at the restaurant in general or if he brought some. I didn't see those. It sounds too hot, too. I don't want anything with
that. That's
a
good spicy wing name, though. Double black diamond.
Yeah. I think those were the ones Dawson was tearing into, which
should have just gone with the garlic parm, man.
I did eventually, but I don't really like garlic parm. But like, okay. It's a good wing. But yeah, I mean, our friends at Buckethead Tavern brought the wings; they were delicious. I was eating them, And I know their wings are really good because back when I used to do voluntary reaction, Barry used to bring us wings. Like, these wings are delicious. I like barbecue wings. What can I say? I like a little honey, like I like a little like honey crispers when you go to like Chili's or something. So I was like, you know what? The honey chipotle, yeah, those are fine. So I wasn't expecting hot, and I got my ass burnt up, both figuratively and literally.
I didn't catch the garlic parmesan. Were they all? Were that was that like a dry rub one, or was it all sauced up?
It was closer to dry rub. I mean, if you're on the scale, it wasn't very saucy.
Yeah,
it was good though. But yeah, that's what I tried to get as a palate cleanser. A couple minutes later, I was like, maybe this one will ease this pain in my mouth.
Double hot Korean zombie.
You got cleansed.
I had a friend of my son's who used to, because he'd love wings, and we'd be on vacation. This kid came with us, and we went and got wings, and they'd go super hot, and then they'd take the celery and rub it on their lips. And I was like, you really think that works? They're like, no, it does, man. It does. It's like, I don't buy that.
If I have to eat something that hot, I don't want it. If I have to rub celery on my mouth to ease the pain, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm with you.
This isn't hot ones. Anyways, let's hit some hour two headlines. What did we miss yesterday, Sam?
In the NFL, some contract news went down during the draft as the Eagles announced A.J. Brown, another extension, 3 years, $96 million, $84 million of that guaranteed, the most guaranteed money in NFL history for a wide receiver. Short-lived day for Amon-Ra St. Brown. He had the previous record at $77 million. That one does not stand for too long as A.J. Brown cashes in on another big contract, $32 million annually for him.
If you're Amon-Ra St. Brown, are you going back to the table and being like, hey, you owe me a couple million?
I'm not actually happy.
If you're Amon-Ra, like, you feel like you're as good as A.J. Brown, right? No?
I don't think so.
Okay, you think he's like fine being behind AJ?
Well, I mean, he might think that personally. I don't think Amon-Ra's near AJ Brown.
It's like buying a car, you got that 24-hour window like, ah.
Actually, yeah, they had a gun to my head. This isn't legal.
Yeah.
I can't sign a contract under duress.
AJ Brown, though, one of our we appointed him as one of the few diva receivers out there. Got his.
I mean, if I'm Amon-Ra St. Brown, my numbers are better. At least they were last year. 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns. I mean, AJ was just under that at 1,457 touchdowns.
How many catches did Amon-Ra have?
106 for AJ, 119 for Amon-Ra.
Okay.
So yeah, more catches, so lower, you know, yards per average. But I don't know. When I watch, I mean, both those guys I think are elite. I just wonder. I mean, I guess the year before, A.J. blew him out of the water. I mean, A.J.'s had back-to-back 1,500-yard seasons, so maybe he is a little bit more deserving.
I was a little sad. I kind of hoped maybe the Titans could just, like, bring A.J. Brown home after those 4 years in Philly. That's whatever. I don't like him anyway.
Whenever I got the A.J. Brown just, I was like, I thought people were going to say he just got traded because, like, last night at the draft party, like, oh wow, AJ Brown just, like, what?
You got PTSD.
Just what? Yeah, just what? Oh, got a record breaking deal. Okay, never mind. Most guaranteed money ever for a wide receiver. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
In college football, a rumor that we had talked about a little bit last week, but Jaden Rashada, he makes it official, the former Arizona State quarterback. He commits to Georgia. He'll have 4 years of eligibility remaining, obviously, so he's set to, you know, sit under Carson Beck for a year, learn that system, you know, kind of fall in line with that Georgia coaching, and seems like a little bit of a project for Georgia, and I think it's a guy that has, you know, tremendous upside, but his college career has definitely been up and down and switching campuses and switching coaches and everything like that. It's been a bit of a whirlwind for Rashada. So he'll settle down there in Athens, Georgia, sit for a year under Carson Beck. I would imagine he probably starts a year after that.
So you think he's their starting quarterback next 2 years?
I think that's the kind of their plan. I don't think they pursue a guy like this if they're not thinking he's their future starter.
Bob, you agree with that? Disagree with that? Because he wasn't very good at Arizona State this year. It's not like he was a five-star prospect. He was, you know, like around middle four-star. I think one publication maybe had him as a five. But, like, he's not like the elite recruiting profile.
No, but I think you go into a program like Georgia, you get set up for success, and if he can understudy Beck for a little bit, yeah, I feel pretty good about him.
Okay. I guess I just figured they would have higher aspirations, which maybe he'll be a stud.
Who knows? We've seen this before with other programs, too, not just Georgia. They could come in with some bigger name, too. Time will tell. But, yeah, I kind of get the roadmap on it right now.
Surprising to me. Whenever I saw it, I was like, okay, so he's just going to be a backup. He's supposed to be in Georgia hanging out. But I guess maybe he looks at that and like, yeah, I could take over this loaded roster in a couple years and get to the NFL.
Tired of messing around with hopping schools and stuff like that. Maybe just sit for a year and figure some things out, I guess. I don't know.
I know you want to play, but like going to Georgia and just sitting and winning and then, yeah, getting your chance, your opportunity – just seems so much cooler than just struggling at Arizona State. Even if you play, like going 6-6, like it just, I don't know. Like it just seems dumb if you're a guy trying to get to the NFL. Like, I don't know.
In the NBA last night, some strange news. Joel Embiid, he has been dealing with a case of Bell's palsy on the left side of his face. That's kind of come out recently. There's been some videos that were circulating of him at the free throw line where it's basically like blinking in slow motion, almost like, you know, it's a almost paralysis and like muscle weakness in your face basically. And so this is something that they said has been going on for a little bit, and they don't really know the timetable of when it'll end either. So Joel Embiid is dealing with that, but clearly didn't affect him too much last night as he drops 50 points, gets a win, and controversially maybe dirty little play too.
What was the dirty play? I didn't see the dirty play.
He was like on the ground under the basket, and Mitchell Robinson was getting a rebound, and he literally just grabs both of his legs.
Yeah,
and like
he
falls over.
Yeah, exactly. He was right over Embiid, and it was in the first quarter too. I mean, it was early in the game, and he just pulled him to the ground, and afterwards he only got a flagrant one. I mean, it really could have been arguable. It's an ejectable offense, I thought, but Embiid was just saying, I've had too many things happen where people fall on me, and I was just trying to protect myself, actually.
Is that when Mitchell Robinson left with an injury? Was that related to that, or was that something else? Because he left in a walking boot from the stadium, the arena, and only played 11 minutes.
It was not that.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if he had hurt him.
But it was definitely a dirty play, I would say.
Yeah. He could have easily hurt him. I don't think he did, though, on that. But
Embiid was awesome whenever we were watching, just draining threes, 50 points. As the Sixers get back in that series, what do we make of the Woj announcement of Bell's palsy? Because he's like, hey, Embiid's trying to keep this private, but here's this big update. So does that mean like he got the okay to give that out? Because like the Sixers probably couldn't have been thrilled about that if not. Is it Wojnarowski's problem if they want to keep it private, if he has the news and knows it's true? Like, I don't know what the ethics are there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
Now, Bell's palsy you can get rid of, right? Like, Bell's palsy isn't always permanent,
right? I was going to ask if any of you have had anybody in your life that's had it. I've had two people that I know that have had it.
Only good old JR, growing up watching wrestling. Jim Ross, he dealt with it, one of the main announcers. And I know some other celebrities that have dealt with it. George Clooney had it when he was a kid, he said, for like 9 months. Angelina Jolie, but nobody personally in my life.
Yeah, there one friend of mine most recently that had it. It can, to answer your question, it can come and go. However, and it's been a couple of years for this guy, he's still got a little bit of it. You know, like it didn't, you know what I mean? It's like there, I don't know what it did to the muscles in his one side of his face, but he still has a little bit of a remnant effect. And I don't know if that ever goes away.
Okay.
You know,
so basically the muscles get just kind of altered a little bit.
Right. Right.
That's what they're pointing out with Embiid. It's like, hey, one side's got wrinkles, the other side doesn't. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's tough, but in most instances you can get past it, but
okay,
that's a tough one.
Anything else, Sam? In the NBA, we also had the Magic bounce back. I told you I felt like they were going to bounce back, and I told you the Sixers were going to win like 7-12 points.
I looked at the NBA scoreboard last night, and I just thought of whatever you said at the end of the show. It was spot on. You should have three leg parlayed that.
Well, I did. Unfortunately, nice. The third leg was the Lakers.
What are you thinking? The Lakers never win.
I know. I'm a LeBron sucker, and I'm like, hey, I know. It was dumb.
Well, you got two out of three. But yeah,
I had a straight bet on the Magic, so at least we made some money last night. A little money last night. We could have made a lot more if the Lakers won, but they cannot beat the Nuggets. And I was preoccupied with this damn war room because I should have taken a Denver live bet whenever the Lakers got out 10. It's like, okay, now I can take Denver because they're clearly going to win.
Yep.
And I didn't. And instead, I got back home after the halftime is kind of when I left. And by the time I got settled in, the Nuggets had already taken the lead in the second half. I was like, yep, there we go. That's it. And then Michael Porter Jr. just jumper after jumper in the fourth quarter. And LeBron's body language, he knew, like, hey, we got nothing for this team. And he's sulking and yelling at people. And D'Angelo Russell scored as many points as the three of us combined. And
yeah, what? God, he just
can't. After hitting seven threes the game before.
He just can't get consistently untracked, man. That's a problem.
And he's pouting, not getting in the huddle, and just, like that. That team's headed for some type of breakup. I don't know how they bring Darvin Ham back if he gets swept in the first round again.
He seems so bad. Has he been that bad all year?
I don't know.
Like did you see the video of him in the timeout where he's trying to draw up a play? he just can't do it.
This is the problem, in my opinion. This is the problem with NBA coaches is I don't know if he's any good, honestly. It's hard to tell. Like someone like Spoelstra, we know is very, mm-hmm. very good. Popovich, we know is very good. But then there's so many of these other coaches. Who is it? The Orlando coach, Jamal Mosley, is that right? I mean, he's gotten them to the playoffs. They played pretty well this year. I don't know anything about him. It's just it's very, very different than college in that regard.
Well, plus the playoffs are different just in the sense of, like, you actually have to make, like, a lot of adjustments because you're playing each other every time. The NBA in the regular season, there's not a lot of practice time. So, like, you're not really putting in too many specific opponent game plans throughout the regular season weeks. Like, you're just kind of
night basis.
Yeah, you're kind of doing your thing. You'll make a couple tweaks, but you're not like actually like putting something like firmly in. And you know, on one hand, Darvin Ham got them to the Western Conference Finals last year, got beat by the champions, lost a close series of the champions, playing the same team this year that just is a machine in Denver. Like, to me, it's more about Denver's excellence than it is Darvin Ham stinking and the Lakers not being able to beat them. It's more just like Denver's really good.
It's almost like Denver's figured out the and they did it last year, obviously winning it all, but they've really figured out how to flip that switch between regular season and playoff. They look totally different to me. They were good in the regular season. They look like the defending champs now.
And it's also just like they fall behind double digits every game. It's like, this is fine. We're going to walk you down. We're going to keep coming and coming and coming, and it's fine. And I don't know if Darvin Ham's any good, to answer your question, though. Like, I feel like a lot of what they do is built around LeBron. And I know it took Darvin Ham a while to, like, figure out rotations. But I definitely – my take, Sam, is that I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he's good. I think he's just an average replaceable coach.
Did you see any of the press conference afterwards with LeBron saying, you know, he was like, it's just basketball, man. You know, we know how to win. It's just basketball. I don't know why it's this hard. It was just, like, such a nothing comment.
It was loser talk.
Yeah, it was. Talk. Yeah, like rationalizing, hey, man, we're better than this, but we just aren't winning. It's because it's just basketball. It's no big deal.
Okay, so when I saw the quote, it's just basketball, I thought maybe he was going kind of like he did after they lost to the Mavericks in the finals, where he's basically calling everybody losers. Like, yeah, it's just basketball. It's not really my identity anymore. I'm focused on happiness and life and doing all that. But he was just saying, no, it's just basketball. You got to make shots. You know, you got to it's simple. We're overcomplicating it. We're not doing certain things. Blah,
yeah,
blah.
We've won championships. We've, I've won them with this guy is what he said. He was sitting next to AD, he goes, but it was weird. He's not complimenting Denver. He's not necessarily bashing his own team. He's just kind of acting like it doesn't bother him too much. It's just how it goes, and it's like maybe that is how he feels at this point. Hard to tell.
If I'm him and I'm trying to win championships, that roster in LA is not going to do it. So I wonder, he's a free agent this offseason. Does he look around? Does he call Embiid and Maxey and like, hey, Philadelphia, you add me and maybe we can win the East and win a championship. I'll go to war against, Jokic next year with Embiid instead of Anthony Davis, maybe. Or does he just say, hey, at this point in my career, this age, with this roster, we're just kind of not ever going to win another one. I'll be interested to see how he approaches that offseason. Or if he makes the Lakers be really super aggressive and try to get him a star like Zach LaVine or Trae Young.
One last stat that was interesting on Embiid, and I think some of it's diluted a little because he shot a lot of free throws last night. But
true shooting percentage was through the roof last night.
Yeah, exactly. He Yeah, he was like one of only four players that have scored 50 points with less than 20 field goal attempts or something. He only had like 19 or 17 field goal attempts. It's a very small company that he kept there, so it was super efficient game.
My final Lakers thoughts would be, I hope LeBron, when he does lose to the Nuggets, he sits there and rues the day that he broke up that 2020-2021 team, because I think that was his fatal mistake for the end of his career. Like, Jeannie Buss, I hope she feels bad not paying Alex Caruso. I hope LeBron feels bad getting rid of KCP and Kuzma to bring in Russell Westbrook, because, like, if you kept Kuzma, KCP, and Caruso around AD and LeBron, like, this probably goes differently, and you don't let KCP go to Denver and become a really good, important player for them. Like, I feel like that was the fatal flaw. They win the championship in 2020. They are in line, on pace to beat the Suns in 21 before Anthony Davis gets hurt. They're up 2-1, and then he breaks up the team, and I think that's LeBron's fatal flaw there. Was making that mistake, because he had some perfect complimentary pieces around him, and he traded all in for Russell Westbrook, and that was a disaster. And now he's having to go to war with Torin Prince and D'Angelo Russell, and it just doesn't hit the same.
It's true.
Bad decision by GM LeBron. We'll get back to the draft, some other bad decisions by GMs. Stick with us.
At Wholesale Supply, we're
wearing my 6-year riding my pony.
Oh, it's beautiful weather this weekend. It is the weekend. It's a Friday. Should you have been a Cowboy? Yes, maybe. Maybe you should have. But you know what else you should do? Oh, you should check out our friends at Two Rivers Landing. Bob, tell our audience about our friends at Two Rivers Landing.
Yeah, this time of year, it's I always romanticize this notion. Of course, I'd have to get my wife to want to do it too, but to go out and do a little bit of camping, glamping, if you will. If you own an RV or a camper, you don't have to go very far to go to a place that's situated really beautiful part of this area that we live in and we're so lucky to live in. Out in Sevierville, Two Rivers Landing RV Resort, you can go set up shop there. You got power, you got water, got all that stuff in each dedicated slip. They also have community amenities. If you're going to stay for a little while, if you happen to be traveling, you're listening to the show from other areas and you're coming this way, they have places right there where you can do your own laundry. They've got a secure swimming pool, big one, that's right there on the French Broad River. It's a really neat, neat setup. Price is right too, very affordable. And again, you're just off the beaten path, but you can get the shopping, dining, all that stuff. If you want to learn more, check it out, tworiversrvresort.com.
You did a good job of telling us about Two Rivers Resort, but let my friend Mumbles509, who left a 5-star review on TripAdvisor, let him tell you, Bob. It's the best place we've ever stayed. The facilities are very clean. Manicured landscaping, beautiful view of a very peaceful and serene river, pet friendly and human friendly too. I would go again in a heartbeat.
There you
Five
go.
Stars.
Good on you, Mumbles.
Mumbles 509. Please show my friend Mumbles proper respect. Mumbles 509.
That's we talked about they've got a great Good Sam rating, which is really important, but to hear it from actual.
We got a Bad Sam rating over here with Sam.
Yeah, that's good. Man, you are firing with the dad jokes, man. It's good. Hear it from customers too, like that. Those are the kind of testimonials we hear about all the time with these guys. They've got their act together. So it's one thing to say you're situated in a great area, but then to be able to really back it up with just a really nice setting, and they take care of business. It's clean. It's safe. It's a good place. Check it out.
Sam, I believe in headlines you said we had some history, or maybe Bob said we had some history with Embiid's 50 points on so few of shots. Did you realize we also had some history last night in the NFL draft?
Yeah, defensive players.
Well, yes, defensive players. It took a long time to get a defensive player off the board. We were right about that being one of the storylines. They went even further than I thought. But no, they're
there have only been one franchise in like the last 12, 13 years take offensive linemen in the top 11 of drafts back-to-back years. The Titans in 2013 and 14, and the Titans in 23 and 24.
Nice.
Chance Warmack and Taylor Lewan.
Okay. One of them worked out.
One of them did work out. What year was Jack Conklin drafted? Was it 2016?
No, that's a little, I think like 14 or 15 maybe.
Okay. That's what I thought. He'd have maybe been right there to make it 3 years in a row. Did we take an offensive lineman 3 years in a row in the top 10?
I don't think so, no. I think we went, who'd we go after Lewan? That would have been Mariota, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then I think you went Conklin the year after Mariota.
Okay.
I'm not positive on that, but that sounds right.
Well, no, hold on. Mariota would have been 2015, right? Okay, so yeah, right after Lewan. You're right. Okay, and then Conklin 16. Yeah, that's right. Okay. We got to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. Good job by you. Where do you want to go next? Best available players, or do we want to talk about Kirk Cousins and the Falcons? Because I think that was the big head-scratcher of the night.
I was going to say, I'd love to talk a little bit about, you know, who we think, you know, it's kind of our, I know we do it on Mondays usually, but maybe a special draft version of winners and losers so far in that first round, because there's a couple question marks for sure.
Yeah, like I don't know who to call winners outside of just the obvious of like, hey, the Bears, like, hey, good job, Chicago. Like it looks like you got your franchise quarterback and like maybe a stud receiver. You got to feel pretty good about that, right?
Absolutely.
Like, thanks, Carolina.
That whole draft just fell right into the hands of the Bears. I think that's their A++ scenario, what happened last night.
I think little old Kyler Murray was a winner.
Yeah.
He's got his target now.
I know everyone's trying to act like Malik Nabers is on Marvin Harrison Jr.'s like level, but I just don't see it. Like, when I see Marvin Harrison Jr., I just see like superstar. I don't know. I just think he is going to be the guy we look back on in like 3 or 4 years and be like, yeah, like, it's crazy the conversation that was surrounding him that we thought people were on his level. Maybe Nabers is going to be a beast. Maybe Adunze is that guy. But, like, to me, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is just going to clear both of those pretty easily. Like, I just see superstar when I see him and, like, watch his highlights and know his dad's pedigree and just, I don't know, he just screams superstar to me.
We were talking about this last night, but I want to bring it up again and get Sam's take on it. When they were showing the highlights of Marvin Harrison Jr., and I don't necessarily think it's weird, but thoughts on the fact they were drawing all the comparisons to his dad, you know? I mean, who was obviously a great player, but pretty far removed from the NFL at this point. I don't know. Like John said, there's a pedigree there for sure. I just don't know what to think of that. That's they didn't really match him up against any receiver in the current era, you know, in the last couple of years.
Personally, like, you were here in the war room kind of talking about that being weird, or you're in the, I guess we were in the green room.
Yes.
Because we were just kind of waiting and waiting to get in the war room. And
like a person getting drafted.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like Aaron Rodgers just sitting there and Brady Quinn just falling and falling and falling. But like you mentioned that you thought it was weird, and I'm on the other side. I think it would be weird if they didn't show like Marvin Harrison Sr.'s highlights next to his, just because he's a junior of like a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and
yeah,
a real, you know, obviously if you're in a Hall of Fame wide receiver, you're really, really good, and like this guy has a chance to be even better than that when you look at the size of his dad. Like he's bigger. So like I thought it would be weird to not show some of those highlights personally.
Yeah.
I almost feel like comparing him to a current player is almost unfair to like the prospect that he kind of is. Like, you know, I think it's like unfair expectations if it's like, oh, he's the next Justin Jefferson type of thing. I think it's just a little bit easier to kind of throw him in line like, oh, his dad was great, he's, you know, the number one prospect in the draft, he's going to be a great wide receiver. Like, we don't really have a, it's almost like they didn't have a comp for him.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he's better than Justin Jefferson as a prospect. Like, Justin Jefferson went, like, number 20, like, 21, 22, right? I mean, like, he was down at the end of the draft. Not saying that he's going to be better than Justin Jefferson in the NFL, although he could be. But, like, I don't know if it's fair or unfair to compare him to greatness right now. But, like, it's an easy comp to be like, hey, here's his dad. His dad's really good. He's got the same name. Here you go. He was catching passes from, you know, Peyton Manning, look at these passes. And, man, those highlights. So he's like, man, Peyton and Marvin Harrison are really good. Like, they had the Titans on the screen. Samari Roll with beautiful coverage. But, like, there's nothing you could do. Like, whenever they drop it right on the sideline over the shoulder. I was like, man, I'm sure that made me really mad, you know, 20 years ago. But now I can appreciate it now that I'm removed from the fire, I guess.
Yeah, that one's getting – I mean, it seemed like a no-brainer. But, again, there seemed to be some chatter going around about Harrison's – want to and all this other stupid stuff. But I mean, now in hindsight, people are grading it A+. I mean, guy's got Pro Bowl potential right off the bat. He really does.
When you start talking about people's want to, I kind of push back on that.
Yeah,
it seems like that's just something in draft cycles that you start trying to pick apart, and it sounds like one person, one scout, one GM might leak that, and then that becomes a narrative. You saw it happen with CJ Stroud last year. Think about how dumb all that conversation surrounding C.J. Stroud felt this year whenever he shows, oh, wait, no, yeah, this guy's, like, awesome. And, like, we kind of knew he was awesome when we watched him against Georgia. And I think back, you know, speaking of Georgia, like, the same thing happened to Anthony Edwards. It's like, oh, we don't know if he even wants to play basketball. He loves football more. I don't know if we should take him number one. Maybe let's take James Wiseman. That guy loves basketball. Or how about LaMelo Ball? It's like, no, Anthony Edwards is the pick. And then you watch him, it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's, like, awesome. He's really, really good. Who cares if he likes football? He's really good at basketball, too. And that's kind of how I feel about with the Marvin Harrison Jr. talk. It's just like, yeah, he might be a little standoffish, or yeah, his people might have some demands, or maybe a little hard to work with. But I'll tell you one thing. Like, it seems like Marvin Harrison Jr. and his people ain't going to put up with Kyler Murray slacking. If I'm Kyler Murray, there might be a new sheriff in town. Like, the way Marvin Harrison Jr. carries himself is like he's coming to that locker room as the alpha. You better shape up, Kyler Murray. That's the way I felt watching that. You don't want to make Papa Marvin Harrison mad. I've heard some stories about what happens when he's angry. You better shape up, Kyler, because you're holding the keys to a Hall of Fame career. You better make sure you don't drive in the ditch or else.
Back to C.J. Stroud, too. I mean, to your point, man, did that look silly. I mean, because he came out, it wasn't like a slow burn and he built up during the regular season. He came out gunning first weekend or two in the NFL, as I recall. Guy could just play. And I think maybe we'll see the same with Harrison, really.
I think so. Like I said, I just think he's a stud. And like, I know Malik Nabers might be really good, but comparing, I thought the months where they compared and tried to convince you that like Nabers was going to go ahead of him just this seemed foolish in hindsight. Who else winners? I think the Bears. I agree with Kyler Murray. Anybody else stand out? The Chiefs. I mean, I feel like coming out, fixing that wide receiving core, like it feels like Patrick Mahomes now has some weapons, right? Like not only do they get Hollywood Brown this offseason, but to get Xavier Worthy, like that feels like a mess up for the rest of the league.
Yeah, I agree. I think for better or worse, I wouldn't call him a winner, but Daniel Jones will get a chance this year for once and for all to see if he belongs.
Okay.
You know, he's got Malik Nabers, so they've given him a weapon. They've taken some weapons away, though, but still, they're going to ride with him, it seems pretty clear, because I know there was a lot of chatter, too, about McCarthy going there and I don't know. Again, wouldn't necessarily call him a winner, but if I'm Daniel Jones, at least now you know. You know you got a chance to go make it work or not, because it'll probably be his last season in New York if he doesn't.
Two that I thought of, I think we're kind of just late in the first round, and I thought it was the Eagles and the Lions. They, you know, two teams that were coming into that draft needing some help in the secondary, and, you know, there was a rumor out there that Howie Roseman and the Eagles were really trying to move up into that first round to go and get one of those top corners. Just kind of the way that board falls, you get probably the top corner in the draft and Quinyon Mitchell to fall to the Eagles. They get him at 22. And then I thought, you know, the Lions have also needed some help in that secondary with some of those guys kind of aging in that sense. But Terrion Arnold, a guy that, you know, that Alabama staff spoke very, very highly of this year, and a guy that used to play safety, kind of rotated into corner, and is just kind of getting started at corner. So I think that's a lot of versatility for that Lions defense, and they just continue to kind of draft that best player available.
Do you judge the Eagles pick with Quinyon Mitchell, knowing that he played at Toledo? Are you holding any type of judgment against him being a small school and not having proven it against big receivers? Because I don't know. I think it's a fair question if it's another position. Like if it's a quarterback that didn't play at a high level, we'd ask that question.
I think corner is just one of those positions that you can kind of – you can get guys from anywhere. I mean, you look at like L'Jarius Sneed. He went to Louisiana Tech or something like that.
Sauce Gardner, Cincinnati when they're still group five.
Yeah, yeah. You're an athlete at that position. I think you're just an athlete.
Yeah. What about losers of the draft? We talked to some winners, some positivity. Losers. Again, I think everyone's going to look back and say it's really dumb to let Patrick Mahomes get some receivers, but I guess you can't really block it. There's not really anything you can do, but hey, maybe Buffalo don't trade with them. If you're Buffalo, like, hey, maybe like realize I'm chasing the Chiefs. If they want to trade up, I can't do it.
Decline the call.
It might hurt yourself a little bit. That's fine. But, like, what's going to hurt yourself more is giving Patrick Mahomes the fastest wide receiver in the NFL, like giving him his new Tyreek Hill. That seems like it wasn't necessarily worth what you got. You got what? You got to get up into 95 instead of 133? I think that's what the swap basically was. So the Chiefs give up 32, 95, and 221. And the Bills give up 28, 133, and 248. So, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be worth the 40 spots in the draft.
Kind of speaks to that. I know we're on losers. It kind of speaks to that winner thing. I mean, it's a lower pick, but it's kind of almost this year's version to me of the type of player he is at a different position. But I see some Jahmyr Gibbs type of player in that pick as far as just explosiveness and everything else. I mean, yeah, so whoever gave the Chiefs that move up in the draft order, the Bills, that's no bueno.
Their biggest rival over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, their biggest competition. Here you go.
Here you go. Here's a guy who runs a 4-2-1. Go ahead and take him.
I don't know. Maybe the super speedster doesn't really work in the NFL. Maybe that's what the Bills are thinking. Like, hey, it's fine. Super fast guys don't usually pan out, but
in the Bills' defense, I think they did. I mean, for
Marcus, we got a little Marcus showing here.
As bad as it is for them to let the Chiefs jump them, I think they did. You know, they acquired some top 100 picks, and I still think they're just going to go get A.D. Mitchell here in the second round.
Oh no,
that's probably their guy that they wanted all along.
No. I understand that. I understand that. Yeah, they added
some
picks.
But it's the principle,
and ultimately, like, it might benefit their roster. But like, you can't trade with your biggest rival. You got to be careful there, or maybe not. I don't know. Like, that's what Greg Popovich kept saying when, like, Kawhi was wanting to get trades. Like, well, I'm not trading to the Lakers. I don't care if you give me Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, and he ended up with DeMar DeRozan and, like, Jakob Poeltl. Like, that was his big haul. So maybe he'd have been better off trading with his rival. Who knows? Just remember this. If Worthy blows spot of that secondary over the next 3 or 4 years
for big touchdowns. He absolutely will. My big loser was the Broncos. Bo Nix at 12 is unfathomable to me.
I'd say that, and I'm amazed at excuse me, how many media members are rationalizing the Falcons move, saying, hey, now they're set at quarterback for the next 10 years. It's like, are they really? We don't know. And the way they've handled it apparently with Kirk Cousins too, I mean, it's just those two really stuck out to me. And also, I'd say the third one for me would be the 49ers. I guess they're playing defense, so to speak, if they end up trading Brandon Ayuk by getting Ricky Pearsall. But there were other we had a 37 Club member on Discord even mention it. What about Keon Coleman? You know, I mean, there was some other talent out there.
Keon doesn't really do it for me. He can't get open. Either. And, like, you know, he won a – his stats in college were a lot of like, hey, I'm winning jump balls, and like, I don't know, can he win those in the NFL? I don't know.
He has a high drop rate. I thought Ricky Pearsall was a great pick for the Niners, honestly. That was a guy that I mentioned yesterday that I thought was a guy that the Titans would have a great time with. That's kind of like your Ladd McConkey. I think he fits that Niners system well.
Yeah, but I got to be honest. I thought whenever we were having that conversation, I was like, yeah, but I don't really want him in the second round. Like, oh, yeah, no, he'd be more in the third round, guys, is what I thought like we'd kind of ended up on. But then, like, he ends up at the end of the first round, which is a little surprising to me. I know big boards don't really matter. You know, these mock drafts don't really matter. The teams are having their own evaluations. They don't care what your mock drafter writes. They don't really care what Mel Kiper thinks. But I was surprised seeing Pearsall in the first round. I thought that was a guy they could have gotten later, but maybe not. I don't know what the actual truth is there.
Let's talk about that. McConkey or Pearsall, which one would you want?
I mean, I think McConkey's better. I think McConkey's great. McConkey's the guy I want for the Titans, like, right now. Like, when I'm looking at the best available and counting the picks until the Titans get to pick again, like, if Ladd McConkey's there, I've decided, Sam, I want me a white skill position player with our next pick.
Okay.
Either it's going to be old boy from Iowa.
He Cooper. Won't be there.
Cooper DeJean?
Yeah, Cooper DeJean. I want my white cornerback or I want my white wide receiver. That's who I want. Okay. Give me one of those freaks. But, yeah, no, he's listed as the best player available. So, yeah, he probably won't be there. But, yeah, give me one of the white skill players. Give me Ladd. I think Ladd's better. I mean, maybe Pearsall is just as good. I don't know.
Pearsall's, I think, a little bit more athletic than McConkey is. But I think they're both great players in the, you know, in their roles. I just feel like that's just such a culture fit type thing. Like, it's definitely a reach, but I think just you slide him into that San Francisco system, and I just think he's just kind of seamlessly transitions into there.
That was definitely Brandon Ayuk protection, right?
Yeah. He's gone after next year.
You think he's gone after next year? You don't think he's gone today? Because, like, the reports came out last night, like, hey, the Patriots are working on a trade for Brandon Ayuk. That came out last night.
I wouldn't doubt it if he's gone today. I wouldn't doubt it at all. But, yeah, I think that San Francisco is absolutely at least getting ready for the post-Ayuk, you know, life over there.
Kind of a loser, but teams were winners because of it, I thought, was the way edge rushers kind of fell in this draft. I mean, the Colts took the first one. I was, once they didn't get Brock Bowers, which, again, I'm just saying, the Raiders drafted Michael Mayer, or Meyer, whatever you want to call him, in the second round last year, tight end. Also bringing in Harrison Bryant, tight end. Then they draft a tight end. I'm a little bitter. But I figured then the Colts may pivot and go to Dallas Turner instead. They go to Leitu. But you think about Verse, you think about Turner. There were some big names that I felt dropped a little bit. And so, I mean, I'd say from an earning perspective, maybe they're losers. But, boy, some of these teams made out well getting them, I think.
Yeah, like when you take and you look, and it was how many picks? 13, 14?
14.
14, yeah.
14 offensive picks, and then, yeah, you let the playoff teams or the teams around the fringe of playoffs start getting the good defensive players. Like, that seems like a dangerous idea.
The run on quarterbacks at the start and then offensive linemen just allowed the rich to get richer at the back end of the first round.
Right.
Right. All the loser teams at the top are reaching for quarterbacks. Yeah. And then the teams that are already established and good got the actual, like, best players in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. Verse is going to be a monster on the Rams.
I thought of you, John. I know you like Verse. And when I heard that on the radio, I was like, God, that's a Rams move, man. They lose Aaron Donald. They get someone like Jared Verse, they can start to develop.
And there was rumors yesterday that the Rams were trying to trade into the top 10, apparently, for a defensive player.
Well, it's funny when I saw that. I
wonder,
like,
who that was.
Well, it's funny when I saw, I was like, come on, come get – because it's like the Rams seem like a Verse destination. Like, it seems perfect. I was like, if they trade up and take him, I'm going to win my bet at 60-1. This $20 will turn into $1,200. Come on. And then they didn't have to trade up and get him.
Yeah.
Because dumbass teams are taking Michael Penix at number 8.
I mean, even Chop Robinson at 21 feels pretty good for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Let's catch a break. Let's come back. I do want to talk about Kirk Cousins and the Falcons situation, because I do think that was the most interesting thing of last night. Sam, send us a break. Talking winners and losers, I do feel like we have to mention the Jaguars. How would you feel if you're a Jaguars fan, Bob, and your owner's son, who is a part of, like, the decision-making process, shows up in a neck brace because he was on TV doing a wrestling angle the night before where he gets attacked and has to continue through with kayfabe and show up selling the injury because his company relies on it?
That made me get into wrestling. I will say, John, that one got me.
They beat the hell out of him on Wednesday night. His dad, Shad Khan, was there too, you know, like running around basically like Red's dad in Friday. I don't know if you've ever seen Friday where where Debo knocks out Red's son or Red when he comes and tries to get his chain back or his bicycle back. And his dad's like, I told you not to be over here. Like, come on, get out of here. That's the way Shad Khan was acting. So Baby Khan, Tony had to show up in the war room wearing the wrestling neck brace to sell his injury from his attack.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, you want some of this too, old man?
Yeah, not a great Jaguars fan moment there. Yeah.
Did you also see the interview with Brian Thomas's parents where the reporter was like, how far has your family come? And she was like, well, we come from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah, his dad's talking to you, inspirational, and the reporter's like, yeah, can you please just talk a little bit about how far this family has come? We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Which maybe she was being deep. Maybe she meant something different. Like, hey, you're from there, you know, like Baton Rouge, you don't get out of here. Like, Baton Rouge, like we came from the slums of Baton Rouge. And I don't really think of that with Baton Rouge. I mean, with the college being there. I mean, I don't know, but maybe.
It's not a great place.
Yeah, maybe that was like her saying basically we got out of the mud. Like, we came from Baton Rouge. If you know, you know. Like, maybe that's what she was going for. But the reporter didn't get it, and everyone on the internet laughed at it.
I was going to say, I saw one post on X where they all they said was, so about 1,000 miles is what you're saying. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe she was just saying like, hey, we came from the mud. Like,
that makes
sense. From bad. But maybe not. Maybe I'm just looking for the positive and trying to help her out. Maybe she just literally thought, well, where did you guys come from? Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Jaguars, I couldn't get over that picture. Like that's going to live as a meme. It's going to live as a meme. Whenever the Jaguars lose, you're going to have the meme of them in the war room. If that pick isn't any good, it was made by a guy with a concussion and a neck brace after he got his ass beat on Wednesday night Dynamite or whatever it was on Wednesday night.
Oh, that's great.
They had that with Urban Meyer a couple years ago. Like they actually, like during COVID, had a fight. They had a match in the Jaguars stadium. And at one point, the wrestlers broke into the boardroom, and like Urban Meyer and some other coach were like in there doing something. Like, whoa! You know, and like, you know, that was a bad omen for the way the Urban Meyer era was going to go. And now they've decided to run it back and had one of the team executives wearing a neck brace in there. I thought that was a weird decision, but funny.
One more thing that kind of goes on this thread. Did you see this whole situation that happened with David Tepper, the Panthers owner?
No. I saw that. Is it where the diner?
Yes.
There was a diner, I guess, nearby that had put a sign up that said, please let the GM and coach make the decision, a.k.a. like owner, like stay out of it.
Yeah.
And the tweets from a reporter was like, David Tepper stopped into the restaurant for like basically to have a face-to-face with the owner and like try to get him to take it down or something. Is that what the story is, Bob?
Exactly. Went in and, basically said he wanted to have a word with the owners about the sign out front.
Tepper's a clown.
Yeah, it's like, dude, talk about, man, just not understanding, being tone deaf about some of the dumbest things. It's like you're at that level. You just got to let it roll.
What would you do if you're a diner owner and David Tepper came in and asked you to take it down?
Kick him out of my establishment.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell him to win a couple ball games.
Yeah.
Do you at least say, like, yeah, I'll take it down and just wire me $500,000?
Yeah, well, yeah, that definitely that one.
Is that like your first play? Like, how much? How much is it worth to you?
Yeah.
Not even like $500,000. I think you could just like get a nice, comfortable amount of money for something that he just would piss him off enough.
Yeah.
I'll toss you $100,000.
It doesn't feel like it's something he would pay to have taken down, especially if the word got out because then everywhere. But like, I feel like once you let people know it bothers you, like all across town, like there should be like billboards of like make David Tepper sell the team and trying to run him out of town because he's obviously thin skinned. Like he threw a beverage on fans at the game like last year, right? Like that was it. He threw a drink on somebody, right? Just straight up threw a drink on somebody, which seems like that should maybe get him like in trouble with the league. But now that you know it bothers him, like, yeah, I'd maybe put signs up all over town. And he might just say, bleep it and sell the team. Like, fine, these people don't appreciate me, I'm out. I'll sell the team. Like, it seems like you might be able to get him just to leave.
That's awesome.
It is funny. Like, same scope, different sport. But did you see what happened to Rob Manfred a couple days ago? He's at a baseball game, somebody came up and was like, hey, Rob. He like looks at the camera, It's like, stop it with the blackouts, you bleeping moron. Like,
how do you
like,
grow the game with the kids? Yeah. Stop the blackouts.
Yeah, like cussing him out. And, like, he just looks sad. Just like turned around. Like, didn't give him the satisfaction of like having any reaction. But it's like, he's probably just like, man, this sucks. Like, this sucks.
He deserves it though.
He does. But like, that's a trend that like I laugh at, but like I feel bad. There was the coach. I think it was Billy Napier, right? Like Billy Napier was at a school on a recruiting visit, and someone asked for a picture, and then like post like had a video like smile if we're gonna go 5-5 or 5-7, yeah, like something like that. Yeah. Smile if you can't win, or and like he's just like, haha, good one, man. But like you know, like in the back of his mind, he's like, I hate this kid. Like bleep this kid.
Little twerp.
Yeah, little twerp. Just running up on people and like yeah, taking mean videos. Like that's just mean. That's mean. They did it to Dylan Brooks too, I think, in the after the Memphis playoffs. Had him in the mall, did the same thing. We didn't get to Kirk Cousins, but
I mean, that's a bigger story. Yeah,
we can do it in 3 at some point. Well, we'll talk Tennessee transfer portal next though, because we're starting to get a little bit more clarity there as the portal turns. We moved that back from the A block to the top of 3, but we still gotta give it to you.
Means things are stabilizing. The way I look at it.
Fair enough. Things are stabilizing. Plus, the NFL draft was really big.
Yes.
If the draft hadn't happened, it probably would have been our lead story again.
You know what? Before we go, you're going to hate this. This is just a mock for 2. The first pick in 2 for Buffalo, the team you're already angry with.
Ladd McConkey.
He's not going to be there at 38.
Yeah, I'm no, sorry. It's fun. I was just doing the math on the best available players that ESPN had. I'm like, oh, you know, that would match up.
We can dream. Maybe he is.
Just draft another tackle. Who cares?
I thought it, I was.
Just draft another tackle.
They got you. They got you taking Marshawn Nealand.
What the hell is that? Who's that?
Defensive lineman from Western Michigan.
If it's not the kid from Illinois, I'm out of there. Newton.
Yeah. Okay, I guess Western Michigan defensive tackle doesn't do much for me. But like, hey, Sam told me if you're an athlete. Maybe that's the quarterback, though. Like, what about the big uglies? Drafting a defensive lineman from Western Michigan.
I want my big uglies in the trenches in, like, SEC football.
Yeah.
That is something that I think translates. You got softer linemen at that level.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That'd be I want to trade back.
Got to have people wanting to trade up to trade back, though. I don't know if anybody wants to trade up.
I think people will want to trade up at the start of the second here with I think there's a lot of receivers there still left that people are kind of wanting to.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of receivers. You might wait. Like, it's not like there's a quarterback. Like, you'd hope there'd be a quarterback that fell that you could maybe, like, get somebody to trade up for. But I don't think anybody's going to be beating the door down for Spencer Rattler at this point. Because, like, anybody who even remotely needs a quarterback has already grabbed one.
They're projecting your guy Cooper DeJean way down. You could get him.
Really? Okay. Well, ESPN AM has the best available. No one knows what the hell is going on. Well, 2 of the draft, we'll talk about that. We'll talk Kirk Cousins. But next, as the portal turns, stick with us. 2 is in the books.
Looking for a luxury.